News Radio WJPF Senator Dave Luchtefeld is on the other end of the phone line this morning. David, how are you this morning, sir?
I'm fine, Tom. Yeah, it's not real cold. We've not had a real tough winter. And so far, we're getting closer to spring, and that's always good.
Yeah, and a lot of things going on in spring as well. You know, all things, spring's new again, except for man. I wish I remember the poet that said that, but that's always one that all things spring anew, except for man. And you know what? Nothing could be truer if you take that and use that as an analog for what happens in Springfield, even though I expected more out of the spring session, to be honest with you, Senator, especially when it came to the budget.
Well, again, this this is unprecedented. I mean, you can always look back and say, what did we do when this happened years ago? Never has it been, we've had this long without a budget, and I expected something to happen last fall. To be real honest with you, it did not. We now are in the spring session, and, we're almost through the July 1, we're through that budget, and then a new budget starts. There needs to be a budget for 2017 that has not, and that could even be a problem. It appears that right now with nothing changes, the next budget could be a problem, and all of that creates havoc for an awful lot of people who really don't deserve it.
Yeah, there's coming a domino effect here. I mean, what do you think? Do you think there'll be, in essence, a two-year budget created when the 2017 fiscal budget's created?
Well, there's been talk of that just extended into the next year. There 90% of the budget, as you know, Tom, is already being spent through the courts ordering that a lot of it be spent. 90% or more is actually going out the door at too high a rates, and that's why the debt keeps growing. But the 10% of the people that are suffering right now are not I don't think anyone anticipated. These are the people we want. Even the governor or certainly Madigan. These are the people that we want to really pay the price. People who businesses and who do work for the state, and they do work much cheaper than we could do it for ourselves. A lot of providers of mental health issues, of senior issues, and certainly through a lot of the doctors and chiropractors and so on. And many of those people, or a lot of them, have gone bankrupt or will go bankrupt if nothing changes. And then the universities, obviously, are not getting their money, MAP grants. Those are issues that I don't think that people anticipated that they would be the people who really have to suffer. And that's a shame.
But they're in session. So, I mean, while we're there in Springfield together, there is reason for hope because, everybody's got to be together on this. Or should I stifle my bit of hope because of the election itself?
No, I think the fact that we're there a lot, there is a lot more pressure on the leaders to get something done because we're there. It's in the news, news articles are written every day about it at a greater extent, certainly when we're there. So I think that makes a difference. And now whether, for instance, if there is some movement on, getting the MAP grants done, and there's an attempt to do that, but it's been kind of a phony attempt. First of all, there's no money in the budget to pay that. The House and Senate have both passed a bill it was a game playing again. They knew that the governor was going to veto it if he didn't get some change. But they wanted it to, it's good in political elections, and that's what this year is another political election. So, I think they're going to try to do that again, put pressure to get that done. Likely there can be some sort of an agreement to make that happen, and then people, if you do the colleges and universities, then the other people who are struggling are people who don't deserve to struggle. So I don't know. And then next year's budget, we need to start thinking about that, and that will be an even bigger problem because of the fact that the debt has continued to grow. And how do you pay for it? Unless you pass a tax, I think the governor's willing to do that if he can get some changes. If the governor gives in, there will be no changes, and we will continue down the same road that we have been down for the last 12 years.
All right.
That is devastating.
That is a good place to jump in with this next thought. because I think there's been some success from the Democratic Party in painting this as Rauner's problem, Rauner being the problem. There's been some success out there, Senator, and I think I hear that in your voice very often when you talk about this. You're going, how can the guy that's been there for a year, it be his fault, but not the people who have been there for 34? And I think that's interesting. So when this upcoming election cycle comes, is that kind of a referendum on approval of the governor's tactics, depending on how people vote for their respective Republican candidates or where they vote against them in the primary and the general election, a kind of a sounding board on approval for the governor's office if people start voting Republicans out?
Well, I don't think there's any question about Madigan believes that he is winning this PR battle. And as long as he feels that way, he will refuse to give in, because you have an election coming up. He can get even bigger majorities if he does. He right now, it's about two things. He thinks he's winning, and he also wants to teach the governor, you don't mess with him. And that's so sad. You know, he has pretty well run the state. And, you know, how can you be proud of what you've done up to this point when you've been in absolute control? I always am amazed at how legislators can look someone in the eye and say it's somebody else's fault when you have run the state for 12 straight years with supermajorities and a governor of your own party. How do you explain that? I don't quite get it, but they're still, I kind of agree, they're winning this PR battle. Yeah. There's a governor who never created the debt. He had nothing to do with that. I think he really would like to turn Illinois around. And some of the things, maybe the governor's made some mistakes with regard to some of the things that he's wanted. You know, and you and I have talked about this. Like, for instance, the right to work issue. That's an issue that he wasn't going to win no matter what. Because Rauner I'm not Rauner, but Madigan and Cullerton, that's one of the reasons they are in power. The unions can back them. They don't want that. They are not going to let that happen. Without their support and money, they wouldn't be in power. So they're not going to. And that is an issue, for instance, that he probably should not have gone after. He can't win it. But that, I think, set the unions really hardcore against Rauner. Now, did he make some mistakes? Well, sure. But the one thing I say over and over, unless we change the way we do business, then this state is doomed. And I think the governor feels that way. I guess I've never been quite understand how Madigan can justify what he has done with his 35-year leadership of this state. He put us in the worst position you can possibly be in on almost all the statistics. The most in debt, the worst bond rating, people leaving the state, businesses leaving the state, unemployment is higher than most other states. Those are things that I don't know how you justify those things and say you've done a good job. Why he hasn't attempted to fix it, I don't really know, other than he believes if he fixes it, there will be pain and he may not be the speaker. And that's kind of a sad synopsis.
Chicago Tribune published article says that Rauner's budget that he is putting out is $3.5 billion short. He wants the Democrats to take the cuts, and so he doesn't have to take responsibility. Democrats have said the same thing about their budget. You jump in the hot water with us too, Republicans, or nothing's going to get cut. This is kind of a replay of the way we've seen these budgets work for a while. Who's going to have blood on their hands when the budget gets cut, I think, is ultimately how that could be capitalized.
Well, so often it's about elections, it's about votes, and you described it very well. Both parties will do the same thing quite often. Madigan, you're right. The budget and the governor, I think, has said two things that I believe make some sense. Okay, if you really want to fund this budget and raise taxes, then we need some business changes that will try to bring business into this state and create jobs. If you want that, fine, then make these changes. If not, give the governor the power to make those cuts. Now, those cuts will be devastating. There is no question about it. But that's their choice. And I think he has stated it very well. But obviously, Madigan doesn't want to do those things. He certainly doesn't want those cuts. and he doesn't want to make the changes. I guess I would think that the governor has made some concessions. There's no question he's backed away from a lot of stuff he asked for. The things that that the governor wants right now are doable, and I think even the unions would agree if they are done properly, like workman's comp. We don't need to drastically change that. We just need to change it enough that we can be competitive with our neighboring states. Another thing, the way we draw the maps, that's doable. 80% of the American or the people of Illinois agree that that should be done. So there are, and if you got those two things, I really believe you'd have a deal. So it is a matter of it boils to me down to the fact that Mike Madigan is basically saying to the governor, "I'm going to bring you to your knees." And in the process, a lot of other people get hurt in a bad way.
You know, you talked about mapping, redistricting. I talked to Dave Millay from Independent Maps last week. And as of 1 week ago today, they had 510,000 signatures. I think they only need 200,000, the most ever collected, to get this redistricting on the ballot and start talking about changes in how those maps. So that's something you and I have talked about many, many times, and I've said this. It's the least glorious, glamorous thing you can talk about in the world, and it's probably one of the most important things you can talk about at the same time. And you know, it looks like Independent Maps has made some real headway on getting this out there and on the ballot.
Well, you're right. It is something people don't. Not on their mind. It only takes place every 10 years. It's not real glamorous. A lot of people don't fully understand it. But there is a credible attempt this time. But even if they get the number of votes they need to put this on the ballot, Madigan will attempt to use his lawyers to find ways to keep it off of there. Now, can he do that? I don't know. Hopefully not. I really believe that if you do put it on the ballot, it will pass. People are tired of this. Why should politicians of either party draw their own maps? That is what we've done, but you will have to change the Constitution to do it. That is never easy to do.
Right.
But I can tell you there will be other roadblocks that will be put up because, you know, Madigan wants to draw the map. He feels that his party will be in control for a long time to come, and the best way to stay in control is to draw those maps.
Okay, I've been told that from insiders in Springfield that there is going to be a major push on creating $15 an hour minimum wage in Illinois this session.
I don't think there's any question about it, and there are one of the reasons that the Democrats want to do this, and honestly, it's about votes. I really believe that we can take a look at that. $15 is awfully high. That we can have that discussion. Certainly not to the $15 level, but we could have that discussion. But the main reason for the discussion is about votes. I think the Democrats feel that this really solidifies their base to guarantee come election time, and that's coming up. Whether they get it or not, they can create this feeling that, you know, Democrats are for the $15 minimum wage and Republicans are bad guys and they're against it. You know, I'm for what is better for this state to create more jobs. And honestly, I don't think that $15 minimum wage, you lose a lot of jobs. People drop a lot of lower paying jobs for kids, for young people, and in the process, there's no, you know, and again, it's an argument. Which would be the best thing? No doubt everyone thinks, you know, if I could just get $15 an hour and I'm working at the McDonald's, then I can make a lot more money. But this is more of a political issue. You know, I'm not real sure the Democrats care whether they pass this bill or not, but it gives them a heads up to talk to their base and say that we're for you and that the Republicans are against you. And that's kind of what it's all about.
I'm going to give you a microcosm here just a couple of moments from a meeting, okay? I don't know if you know this, Dave, but I'm also the operations manager here with the group. And we've got a number of radio stations that are here. We sit around, we work about budgets, all right? And they go, So, can we ask you why your part-time wages are so high compared to every single other member of the group? Why are yours so high? And another thing, why is our workman's comp so high when we have, but it's not like that in any other states. And I guarantee you that conversation is held in other places. And when I have to explain to my boss why our wages are so much higher than the rest of the groups, why we're paying more in workman's comp, they go, oh, it's because you're in Illinois. And that's a conversation that's had time and time again from people who compare their businesses in Marion to their other businesses around the country. And you know that I'm not the only one who's heard that sentence.
Well, there is a reason why all of the statistics show, you know, that our bond rating is so low, that we have the highest unemployment in the Midwest, that businesses are leaving. There's a reason for that. And again, I say to myself, Madigan is not a young man anymore. You'd think he'd want to leave a legacy. Right now, his legacy is going to be he's the longest-serving speaker in the history of the United States, but he left a bankrupt state. That doesn't get, you know, but he's chosen to do that. He's chosen that this keeps me in power. If I make the kind of changes that have to be made now, they will be painful. I could get blamed for them, and I might not be the speaker, and my party might not be in power. And that's a sad, that's a sad synopsis, really, of I think his thinking. Why wouldn't he want to fix it? And he's a bright guy. He knows the things that he needs to do to fix the state, but would prefer staying in power.
Yeah, that's something I spent a lot of time thinking on. Hey, let's end on a different note this morning. Senator Dave Luckdefeld is joining us this morning. The president was in Springfield before, a joint meeting there. Did you get an opportunity to speak with the president?
I did. Some of us served, I served, for instance, for 6 years with him and got to know him pretty well. We didn't necessarily agree on a lot of issues, but we got along well. We, in the evening, would, and a lot of times in the evening, there's not a lot to do past 8 o'clock once you're done eating. We would play cards. And with a group of legislators, we would sit down and play cards, play usually poker, not for a lot of money, but it passed the time, and he was part of that group, and that's how I got to know him. And so he wanted to speak to a number of the legislators, especially in the Senate, who he worked with, and we had about 30 minutes, and he was very gracious in the meeting and had a lot of laughs and did some pictures, and he signed a few things, and it was a very gracious time. He then gave a speech, and I thought the first half of the speech was pretty good. But I think he supposedly came to try to tell us that we needed to work together, and that's fine. We do. There's no doubt about that. Certainly a lot more than we do. But I even mentioned that I said, you've not have done a very good job of that in the United States Congress. I mean, if there's ever been a time where people are divided in Congress, it's today, and it's hard for you to be the messenger for us to get together when it's not happening on a national level. But we had a nice visit. And
right up to you said that.
those sorts of things I think he laughed about, and you have to, that is a fact. But so I was glad he was there. It was the security is over the top. I didn't realize, I guess I should have known that security would be, but there were people every place.
Right.
And Springfield was almost shut down because of him being there. So it was, but it was an interesting day, and I think I certainly enjoyed it. Hopefully he did too. It was kind of a victory lap, I think, for him. He's got about a year left, and this was a way to come back to a place that he knew that he was going to get, being controlled by the Democrats, going to get a lot of very pleasant support.
All right. Senator Dave Luckdefeld. Senator, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Good to talk to you.
News Radio WJPF.